into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Warriors announced they are signing Al Horford to a multi-year deal, which I love. They announced that they're signing D'Anthony Melton. Sounds like it's either going to be a one-year deal or potentially a multi-year deal. I would love a multi-year deal there. I think it's going to depend on the Kuminga contract. Also signed GP2, re-signed GP2. Sure, I like it. Gives you insurance policy at POA. We'll see how healthy he can be, but if he can give you, you know, one or two just decent shifts, 8 to 10 minutes a game, pair him with the Steph minutes where he's always been at his most effective and they play very well together. Yeah, I like the signing as potentially, you know, a back end of the bench guy where you're not relying on him to be in your closing lineups or playing significant 30 plus minutes in a game. Great moves. I think we've known these are coming, and I think we've all universally been pretty satisfied and content with these signings. And if it wasn't for this big cloud of a Kuminga contract situation, I would call it a pretty successful offseason for the Warriors. Not a huge splash trade or splash signing, but for all intents and purposes, you know, to lure Horford away from the Celtics, where it sounds like Brad Stevens said they tried to re-sign him, couldn't do it. I think the Warriors are able to offer him that mid-level rather than the minimum contract for him, which Boston was probably offering at that min. I don't even know if it was about the money for Horford, but maybe it was, or maybe he just wants to come to a better contender in the Warriors and just see what all the hoopla is like playing with a Steph Curry after Steph has basically been the Celtics daddy for quite some time. Love the signings. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. It is the 12th hour for the Kuminga. It's, what time is it? It is basically 11 o'clock here on Tuesday. So we're back to essentially what we're doing in July. And I'm checking my Twitter feed every 10 minutes, just seeing if there's any breaking news, which I did for probably 6 weeks and then have eased off. But in the last few days, I'm just back to checking for any news. And it's just the most frustrating thing in the world. So I'm not going to talk about it anymore other than I'm going to give you a prediction. And by the time you watch this, you might already know the verdict, but I'm predicting Kuminga is going to re-sign. I got two options. The first one, I'm going to say he's going to take the 3-year, no options, no team option, no player option, the 3-year, $54 million that was on the table. I think the Warriors bumped that up a little bit because they can go up to about $22 million per year. I say they bump that up to about, call it $62 million, so about $21 million per year. No options, and Kuminga's either going to take that guaranteed 3 years, or if he's still feeling some type of way and doesn't want his future tied to the Warriors, the other option, I think he's going to take that 2-1. So the 2-year team option that the Warriors are offering for $45 million, I think the Warriors compromise and give him his no trade clause back, and or basically don't require him to waive it. Gives him a little control over on the back end. If I'm the Warriors and that's what gets the deal done, I do it because I don't see that many teams or scenarios where Kuminga's blocking that trade. He wants to get out of here. And if he's doing well with the Warriors, then, you know, we're happy to keep him. But assuming he still wants out and not much has changed, I don't see him blocking many trades. So give him that little bit of control if it gets the deal done. So those are my two predictions. Okay, let's get into anything other than Jonathan Kuminga. Let's talk about Al Horford. And man, this might be the best mid-level veteran type signing across the NBA, at least by the Warriors that I can recollect. Horford just unlocks everything, every lineup combination. He is essentially, you know, when you looked at last year when the Warriors were clamoring for a stretch big, you know, trade Kuminga for Vucevic, whatever the case may be, there's so many lineups that just didn't work because you didn't have a two-way center that can space the floor. We pretty much all know why and how important that is, but essentially Horford gives you so many combinations where you don't have to play Dre at center. He can play with Steph. He can give Steph more spacing. He can play with Kuminga and let Kuminga play the four. He works with Jimmy, where Jimmy can work out of that post, and Horford just kind of spaces the floor rather than clogs it. So many different lineup combinations that you can run with Horford. really the biggest question is, how many minutes can Horford handle? Because you want him in there with essentially every single lineup you have at that center spot. It's just the perfect dream fit. Just from a skill perspective, I would love him to be a little bit younger, but yeah, again, he's exactly what you want in terms of just kind of a veteran, savvy, smart player, unselfish, two-way player. Again, that spaces the floor. He is what you dream of in a two-way big, much better than like a Vucevic, who, yeah, he gives you a little bit more scoring just over across the board, but he is a huge hole defensively. Horford is not that. Horford is a great defender. He can protect the hoop. He can essentially guard your biggest centers. Everything from def on defense is a plus plus from Horford, other than being a completely switchable defender where he's not going to be able to essentially stay in front of like, your guards and your faster, dynamic, athletic, small forwards of the league. But that's why he plays in that drop coverage, something that's going to be a little bit different for the Warriors. They don't play a ton of drop coverage out of their bigs. But with Horford, I can see them go dropping into that a decent amount, if not most of the time, and kind of restructuring that back end from there. But that's okay. Gives the Warriors even just a different look in general. So yeah, I mean, we'll just keep talking about that defensive side. So one thing the Warriors, if they had a hole, we always talk about the Warriors need to be bigger. I don't know that the Warriors need to generally be just bigger for the sake of big, but they needed a guy who could guard the biggest centers in the league or just the biggest elite all-stars in the league. Your Jokic's, your Embiid's, who Horford has been able to guard even in Embiid's prime, your Giannis's, your AD's, and maybe don't Giannis isn't really count as a big. He's more of a kind of a huge wing type player. But your ADs, just those type of guys that have really given the Warriors trouble. Even like your on the Clippers, what's his name? I'm talking Zubac. Those type of guys that are just too much size for Draymond and just wear on Draymond. Now you have Horford who can kind of take some of that brunt and basically hang with those and bang with those 7 footers. Additionally, when he's not with those guys, guarding those guys, he can, as a help defender, just great rim protection, averages over a block per game for his career. Most importantly, he allows Dre to play what Dre has said is his natural position at power forward. It's what Dre made his name on. It's how he was at his best. Dre's a great small ball center, and God, we may never see a better center at below 6'8" ever, as Dre in our lifetimes, but he is a better power forward. He can get out on the perimeter. He can still help as a help side when he's off that weak side. Essentially, the combination of those two bigs, no matter who's on ball, off ball, they just are going to work so well together. And then you throw Jimmy into the equation as well. And those three just give you one of the strongest, smartest front court defenses that you're going to see around. So much so that I could see them playing a ton of zone. The NBA playing a lot more zone across the league these days. Put those three, defensive whizzes in there. And that's a great way to protect yourself if your point of attack or your perimeter defense just, you have certain combinations in there, like call it like a Steph and Pajemski backcourt in there. Not the best perimeter defense. They're fine, but you protect yourself a little bit more against when you're playing your Anthony Edwards of the world and you're having trouble staying in front of people. Now you can just fall back into that zone with those three and you are much more protected and you just give a different look in general. So just so many things that Horford unlocks as at that center spot. And we just talked about defense. On the other side of the ball, offensively, only way to get your In the NBA these days, the way you want your best player to be at his best. And the way to do that is to give him spacing, especially from your bigs. If you get those big guys out of the paint on defense, now Steph Curry, who is undersized and challenged to finish in the lane when there's a ton of big bodies in there as it is, protects him from getting banged by these big bodies and fouled, or especially in the regular season when he's just trying to, be a little less aggressive, you give him space to work. You unlock Steph getting to the lane in the key. Just any player, especially Steph, needs as much space to work. And Horford gives that to him for obvious reasons. 38% 3-point shooter. Only 36-ish% last year, but he shot, I think it was like 42 and 41% the couple years before that. So you could call him at this point in his career closer to a 40% 3-point shooter, and that's on over 5 attempts per game. In general, his field, he only takes about 7, 8 field goals attempts in overall per game. So he's really just spacing the floor, shooting threes. But then, he's going to get a couple of just dunks, layups, and I can see him, exploiting mismatches. He's big and smart enough to use his body when he gets a smaller guy switched onto him. So he gives you that mismatch score. Also, just in terms of spacing, outside of Steph, what do you want around Jimmy? You're playing out of the post. With Jimmy, you need to surround him with shooters. You need to get bodies out of the paint, and you want as many shooters outside that arc as possible so Jimmy has space to operate and or kick out around. Horford gives you that. I could see Horford working very well with pods, just between pods movement and Horford's screening ability. Obviously, again, we're going to talk about the spacing between what Horford gives you and just kind of with pods movement, just kind of coming off pin downs and things like that. Gives a ton of space for pods who struggles to finish at the hoop for the same reason Steph does. Just not the biggest, most athletic guy. This hopefully will help pods finishing at the hoop. And then lastly, Jonathan Kuminga. I think we already know for obvious reasons, you need as much spacing to put Kuminga in lineups. He is, the biggest opportunity for Kuminga and the biggest hope is that now that you got Horford there, that's going to unlock a whole bunch more with Kuminga. And I'm not even going to go down that road. But again, Horford, Kuminga, the perfect pairing. They're going to see a lot of minutes together. When JK's in there, you're going to probably see a spacing big in Horford, or as we'll talk about pretty soon, a little bit of Quinton Post. Last just thing about Horford we talked about briefly is just how many minutes he's going to be able to eat. I think the Warriors are going to want to keep him at about like 25 minutes per game. It's really just going to kind of be matchup dependent, but especially early regular season, you just got to reduce the wear and tear because we need the 39-year-old to be as fresh as possible back end of the season. But here's the stat that I like the most about Al Horford is that over the last 4 years, so from age 35, 30 through 38, all at Boston, last 4 years, he's averaged 28 minutes per game across 64 games per season average, right? That is a full-time player. If we're getting that from Horford, I'm thrilled. Maybe trim the minutes down a little bit and then ramp them up. But if you're getting a plus, 60 plus games from him, that is what is going to unlock the Warriors to be a top 3 to 4 seed in the West. Your contingency plans, or what's going to keep Horford fresh, is how Quinton Post emerges. And can he essentially grow enough in certain aspects to be a Horford type player where you're not really missing a beat or having to change your style too much, regardless of who's in? It just kind of keeps your lineup rotations consistent and just gives you this a little bit of a switchability between those two. I mean, obviously, the obvious reason is that he can shoot just like Horford. Honestly, Quinton Post might shoot better than Horford and better than almost any other center from three in the league. Should be a 40% or even higher 3-point shooter, should Post. If he continues to improve, he said in the offseason, obviously, he worked on his shooting. He worked on his strength and he worked on not fouling on defense. I would pretty much prioritize those for him because his growth as a defender to A, be stronger against the bigs and really hold your own and be able to rebound and just be a 7 foot, whatever he is in terms of just kind of girth and size and strength, that would be a huge bonus. And then he is also working just kind of on not fouling. So I think he just needs to get more laterally quick. I don't know how much that really can improve at this point in his career, but lower body strength should help getting in better position and anticipation. They're only going to get better playing behind Horford, playing behind Dre. All the defensive knowledge, it's a wealth of knowledge there for Post to essentially grow. And you saw glimpses of it last season. He's a smart player, he's a determined, self-aware player. I believe he can make those adjustments. And while he'll never be the quickest or fleetest of foot, if you can be a half count faster in terms of how you think and how you move and anticipate, now I could see Post being a formidable defender, and then we already know on offense that he can not only space the floor, but he's a good passer. Like Horford, he sees the floor well. The ball doesn't really stick. It's either catch and shoot or find a way to kind of keep the ball moving. I'd like him to become a better screener, something that Warriors bigs have always been great at, and you really need Post to emerge as a better screener. And then just in general, I think just the rebounding on both ends of the floor, but particularly defense, you just need to make sure that you're rebounding at a high enough rate as a center there. Draymond's going to be boxing out. You need to box out and open up team rebounds, but essentially you need to go up and grab the ball and be strong with it. So that's all I'll really say about Post, and that kind of just ties in to all my Horford points that I made before. De'Anthony Melton. All right. Another A plus signing by the Warriors. Again, it might be 1 year, it might be 2 years. I like Horford or Melton enough to just say, let's give him the 2 years. Let's try to hopefully he stays healthy. But you're getting him on a vet min when he should be, when healthy, if healthy, he should just be a $12 to $15 million player, because it is not easy to find two-way players. Your Bruce Browns of the world, especially that shine on the defensive side and don't hurt you from the three-point line. And that's exactly what Melton is. Even though he's only 6'2", he's 200 pounds. So he's quick enough to stay with the fast point guards. He is big and strong enough to hold his own against some of the stronger guards. And he's just the perfect backcourt mate for Steph Curry. Whether you see it in the Olympics where Steve Kerr would pair like a Jrue Holiday with Steph, or just in the early days with like a Klay Thompson, the reason they worked so well with Steph is because defensively, you just give Steph a break. You have someone who can be your point of attack defender. You also have someone who is essentially a combo guard where they can. Melton can play on the ball as a backup point guard and let Steph run off. He can play off ball as a catch and shoot 3-point shooter. He's a 37% shooter. Similar to Horford, most of his shots are going to be from three, which is fine. Not the best attacking the hoop, but he can do it. I don't know if he's much of a mid-range, but that's okay. We don't want him shooting it anyways. But essentially, a very confident 3-point shooter. He will space the floor. He can play on. He can play off ball. He can play point guard. He can play shooting guard. Oh, yeah. And he can steal the ball. He pretty much, for his career across, consistently 1.5 steals per game. And that's important, not just because of, playing good defense and getting a turnover, but the Warriors, at their age, they're gonna have a lot of trouble getting out into transition. And we're used to the Warriors, the run and gun Warriors, where that's where you're getting all these, Steph and Klay and Durant and whoever, wide open threes. Gotta get out in transition to open up the floor. And that's what the Warriors are at their best. It's why you see every time Draymond takes the ball from under the hoop, he's sprinting to the baseline and trying to get that ball inbounded as fast as possible. You're trying to push tempo. You're trying to get down before the other team gets set. And you're trying to find little lapses in defense, because that's where Steph makes you pay the most, is when your defense isn't set. So that is the reason why these steals are so important, because it gets the Warriors off and running, especially if Kuminga's on the floor. I think we can all agree Kuminga's one of the best transition players and play finishers in the league. Got to find ways to get him to his strengths. And it starts with getting turnovers on defense. So not only Melton, but GP2, very important for causing a lot of steals and turnovers. Melton, it's going to be interesting how they pair their shooting guard position. And I guess we'll call it also the backup point guard position. It's going to be him and Pajemski for the most part. And I like it. There's similar to what I was saying about Horford and Post being, almost not replaceable, but similar prototypes. Melton and Pajemski can handle, especially offensively, a lot of those same roles, just being able to be on and off ball, just kind of, be a steadying force, and just, it's not really a drop off. He might even be better than Pods offensively. I think Pods gives you a little more playmaking and just, kind of gets to his spots a bit more than Melton. But Melton, a very reliable ball handler, can handle backup point guard duties with the second unit when Steph's off the floor. And then they're going to share shooting guard duties as well. So between the two of them, I think you're going to, expect each of them to be between, 10 and 14 points per game. If we can get Pajenti to take that step as potentially that third scorer, depending on what you get from Jonathan Kuminga. If you can get Pods to a 15-point score, that's a big recipe for the Warriors succeeding and going a bit further into the playoffs, but we're not here to talk about pods today. But my point is that Melton, not much of a drop off from pods. And if he can even raise his scoring a bit or just shoot even better from three, now you're really cooking at that shooting guard position. And we're going to see whether Steve Kerr wants to finish games with Melton at that two spot. He loves Pajemski. Pajemski is good with that starting lineup and closing lineup. We're going to see where the minutes fall and really how healthy Melton is, but I assume they're going to kind of bring Melton along slowly off that ACL. And lastly, between these Melton and Horford signings, I'm predicting that the Warriors finish as a top five defense in the NBA. You have so many lineups that you can work here. Obviously Horford at the center. You have Draymond where he belongs at the four. You have Jimmy at the three. You can put Melton at the two. Obviously, Steph would usually be in there, but say it's like a last possession, just defensive. And again, this is no knock on Steph, but that's why you have Gary Payton the second on the roster is, he can get in there and do what he does best as a perimeter defender. That's a hard line to score on. You want a little bit more size and he shows growth. You can put Kuminga in there on defense because he has the tools to be an A-plus defender, given his off-ball defending and defensive rebounding are also present. But yep, you have a lot of very good defensive options. And again, now you have those options that don't hurt you on the other side of the ball with Horford and Melton being good offensive players as well. So both A plus signings for the Warriors. I'm fine with the GP2 signing, although I would have liked to find a true wing. We're a little light at the shooting guard, small forward, power forward position. If they had pursued something like an Amir Coffey, even like a Trey Lyles or something like that, I think that probably would have been a better roster spot than either GP2 or Seth Curry. I'm fine with one or the other. I don't know if you need both just because, God, what is that? You have with Real Richard, now you have five guys that are under 6'4" on this team. We'll make it work, but again, I'll welcome GP2 back because you know what you have at least with him, and you know that on a good GP2 night, that can sometimes win you games, especially if he's knocking down that three-pointer, and not getting food poisoning. All right. Well, I ex expect I will be back with you very shortly within the next 24, 48 hours once we have some Kuminga news. And then we'll really have our whole roster set and we'll be able to talk a little bit more about predictions. And I'll tell you a bit more about what I think this team's going to do next year. All right. Hit like, hit subscribe, give me some follows, give me some love, guys. I'm Chris Chin. And until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.